Hi Tanya, hi Francisco.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I see that Nicholas is joining us as well. Tanya, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good, I'm good. Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning. I'm just catching up on the email that you sent through overnight. Okay.
Yes, I don't know what, like when I was writing my email, I was even thinking, okay, I need to remember to write Tuesday, Wednesday, not Wednesday, Thursday. And then I still did it. Oh, well. So I heard from Diane that she's not able to make it, and Maria isn't either.
Yeah.
I know that Cecilia is away on vacation as well. So it's just still a little bit holiday season for everyone. So
And I must say, as this morning, I was thinking, oh, I haven't done any work since our last session, specifically on this. But yeah, it's very much the time of the year.
yes, exactly. It's just been really busy.
Yeah.
So, since we're missing, like in last week we missed, or last week, 2 weeks ago, we missed quite a few people as well. I'm kind of thinking, like, because next time we're going to go deeper into the skills,
Yeah.
that today, we're just going to dive a little bit deeper into, getting an outcome and going over. Like what to pay attention to in getting an outcome and things like that. So before we get started, I'd like to share that I am going to be changing my business name.
Yes, what's the name?
It's going to be the Coach Mentor.
Ah, excellent.
So because it fits a lot better, and also because in April, instead of doing the MetaCoach training, Lena Fjellheim and I are gonna do the Quantum Leap training. And so we're gonna make quite a few changes. It's the goal is to get new coaches who go through the training to be less overwhelmed with all of the wealth of knowledge that is in the MetaCoach training, and to make it simpler to integrate. And so we're gonna focus on that. And that means also that since I'm focusing more on the Quantum Leap, that the MetaCoach Academy doesn't really fit so well anymore. That doesn't mean that I don't believe in MetaCoaching. It's just that it's a further development of it. Go ahead, Tanya. Did you have a question?
I was just going to ask you to clarify. I didn't catch the name of the person you're doing it with.
Oh, Lena Fjellheim.
Okay, I don't know her. Do I know? Where does she fit into?
She's been on the leadership team of the ISNS since the beginning, I think 2007, I think.
Is she in New Zealand, based in New Zealand?
No, that's Lena. This is Lena.
Okay.
And she's in Norway.
Oh, I don't think I know her, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I
that's
have.
exciting. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. It is. I'm really excited about it. And I'm working on my book on the Quantum Leap right now. We're making some changes to the benchmarking form so that we basically use the Quantum Leap template as a visual benchmarking. And on one side, and then on the other side, we've got some different skills. So the skills that are the same are questioning, listening, and state induction. Meta questioning is integrated in questioning now. And then we've got some other skills that are really just that are focused on. So one of them is building client awareness. And what you need to do for that. So that means like confronting, giving feeding back your client's story in a structured way, challenging, asking awareness questions. So it's a lot more focused on the why skill actually does inside of the coach conversation. So it's exciting, and I will keep all of you updated. So, and that also means that I'm going to be changing some of the videos over the next several months. And when I do change, I'll let you know so that you can watch the new videos.
Hi, Femke. It's Niklas here.
Hi, Niklas. I just saw your microphone pop up.
Yes. What you're talking about, will you sort of, the people you train, will they sort of go through Meta Coach certification, or is it?
No, we're going to do a Quantum Leap certification.
So that won't be related to Meta Coaching at all, or?
No. That would have been great. We just didn't feel like there was the space to further develop the system and make changes that we feel is necessary.
So what are the changes and developments that you are bringing in that MetaCoaching doesn't offer?
So I've essentially, with the Quantum Leap, with the template, I've integrated all the 8 models into one model. Mm-hmm. So we're basically just teaching that model. And then one part that's not been in there is the detection and analysis, which to me is a really critical part. It's kind of hidden in the system right now. We say, detecting patterns or detecting frames, and that's really it. But if we want to get to like a leveraged outcome, so that means if we want to get the what behind the what, we need to do detection analysis. Because we need to kind of see, is someone doing all or nothing thinking? Is someone doing, so in an earlier conversation this morning when we did ACMC Revisited, we talked about that, and the person who was being coached, he had a problem. He was judging himself and he had a fear of others judging him. So
no. Really? I've never heard of that before.
That was stopping him from making videos and being authentic in his videos. Yeah, it's kind of universal, but
it's a rite of passage, I think.
Oh yes, I think most coaches go through that. Yes. So what we discovered, so what I was doing while someone was coaching, I was making the template. So I was drawing the present and desired state and filling in all of the information that the client was sharing. Mm-hmm. And that had really helped the coach as well to kind of know what information she needed to ask and where she was and utilizing that. Mm-hmm. And then what they identified was that he needs to be okay with being judged. Mm-hmm. And so that's one thing that we can then, so he wanted to go from not being authentic and being afraid, so not being able to speak in his own voice in front of the camera, to being authentically professional in when speaking in front of the camera. So one of the steps then was being okay with being judged. And part of that was also, he was also prophesying and all or nothing thinking, and he was focusing on what he didn't want to happen rather than on the people who would feel connected to watching his videos. And so then in the process of detection and analyzing, we make a we make a list of that, and then we start to look at, then we start to kind of test, let's say, if we change, if you are completely okay with being judged, what would that be like, sound like, feel like, etc., and would that make a difference? Would that allow you to speak in your authentic voice while still being professional? And he said, well, it would make a big difference, but I would still think that I might lose opportunities. And so then I can ask, is that also something then that we need to talk about? And then it turned to, what did he say? He said, yeah, that would be really easy to solve, but still something important to focus on the opportunities that I'm getting rather than focus on the opportunities that I'm not getting. So then we've got, and then I can check. So if you have that both, if those are the two things that we've worked on, will you then be able to get your outcome? So it's that process of analyzing what is it specifically that we need to work on. And that has not been, in metacoaching, that has not been explicit, and see that as like a higher level skill. I don't think it has to be a higher level skill. Because we don't have to overwhelm ourselves with knowing so many different meta programs or so many different cognitive distortions. I would say like the 80-20 rule applies here, because in so many cases that I run into, whether it's coaches or people in a different, you know, not coaches, all or nothing thinking, for example, that one is like such a huge thing that comes up for people, confusing who they are with what they do. Also, like even if you only know those two patterns and listen for those two patterns, you're going to make a huge difference for people. So that's what I'm trying to make a lot simpler, is like, let's take, you know, the top 7 to 10 things to listen for and really learn those well initially. And then you can start adding other patterns, but let's take the ones that really come up the most so that you can start to listen for those and detect them, and then check like which one do we need to work on first. So that process of prioritizing, then you're gonna very quickly in a conversation be able to make a big difference.
Femke, this is really just a personal opinion, but I think the whole system of meta coaching is in my mind getting so cumbersome, so complex with all the models that I think sometimes you, in that system, you lose the sort of the sheer value of just a good conversation, because it's so many models. And so I think that might be the sort of the challenge for the meta coaching system. It's so complex, so much.
Yeah, and people and walk.
I think that is a sort of a disadvantage in a market economy, because I mean, people pay for, well, they pay for results, but they also, I mean, their money and time is limited, so they can't spend all this time in becoming a meta coach, because it takes so much time, really.
Yeah, that was one of my experiences as well. And I love the system, you know, don't get me wrong at all, because I dove into it with all my heart, and like just very passionate about it. And I saw so many people walk away from coach because it's too overwhelming, or they get, you know, like we're talking about judgment, and what happened this morning as well is like this, the coach is getting so apprehensive about coaching because she thinks I only have 25 minutes and I have to get an outcome in 25 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, those then like people walk away from a training with other judgments.
Yeah.
And it's not because the material is not good. It's just the way that it is presented is an overload. And so that's what we're trying to do is to take away that overload and to make it, to just make it simple to apply. That you're still gonna, if you want to be a great coach, you're still gonna have to put in time. Not that, but I think it can be a lot faster.
Yeah, but the step from being sort of conscious incompetent to being unconsciously competent is so large, so big, so huge in this system. And yes. I think that will turn a lot of people away. And I think the greatest values of all the models that Michael presents is to sort of make it legitimate towards business, because you can show this is based on this and this model, and it's researched, well researched, and so on. But I think in a way you lose the power of just a sheer conversation with a person.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and there's like, I think there's a kind of like a middle ground or a synergy to be found there. Yeah.
I thank you, Francisco, here. Congratulations on your new path. I think that sounds great, and I can see the evolution of that. In relation to the training, for me, I mean, it's been the same ladder that many of us do in terms of going through the system a number of times before that start getting sinking into the behavior and the daily behavior.
Yeah.
And it's kind of frustrating because I see so many colleagues and so many friends have been through the training, and they, as you say, they get frustrated and they just give up because it seems like it's unachievable in a reasonable amount of time. So I guess doing small chunks or small components where people can see success more often, that will encourage people better. Maybe what you are proposing will be that way to do it.
Yes, hopefully. And once we do it the first time, we'll get a lot of feedback.
Yeah,
I'm guessing on how to improve that. And maybe at some point, Michael will want to integrate that. Uh-huh. I mean, that would be great.
Yeah. So the upcoming Norway training meta coaching won't happen. It will be basically the new one that you are developing.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And how long is that one?
It's also 8 days. Okay. Just because we had scheduled that in the future, it might be shorter. Uh-huh. But we're not doing the 9 to 9.
Okay. Okay.
So.
Okay. Cool.
But will it also be, I mean, in the future, will it sort of be based on that you first had some NLP training and or?
Yeah. NLP training is just a critical foundation. To have so it is going to be a prerequisite, and they can either do like introduction to meta states, because I think meta questions and meta stating is just such a key component. They can do that online if they want and have that opportunity to do that, and then we do the live training. And we're not going to do the benchmarking right away. Like, we're going to first focus on doing all the skills and practicing, and then just having fun. So it's going to be a lot of there's not going to be a lot of theory. There's going to be a lot of practice and experimentation, or not experimentation, experiential learning.
Yeah.
And then on the last two, like day and a half, we're going to do the benchmarking. So
I think personally, when the MetaCoach system made the strongest impression on me was when there was the sort of joint forces of Michael and Michelle, because now it's like it's leaning on towards the theoretical framework a bit too much, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And that becomes a filter that I think it doesn't really get you all the way with a client, because I think too many of us end up at best being conscious competent, and that will sort of hinder us to be present for the client.
Yeah, but I think, you know, like I said, maybe hopefully we can at some point integrate it and you know, we stand on Michael's shoulders. That's for sure. He's an amazing mind. And I think maybe one of his blind spots is to make it practical and to keep it practical.
The thing that I observed assisting on ACMC just before Christmas was the frustration of the participants who saw the inconsistencies with the benchmarking. And that's not a criticism, it's just an observation that I don't think it's actually possible to be getting a 3 or a 3.5 on benchmarking for every single aspect of every single benchmarking component in a 25-minute discussion. You know, they're trying to achieve that, and I would have people coming to me saying, in the demonstration that he just did, he did what he said not to do before. Why did he do that? And it was, you know, it was a lesson in embracing the ambiguity, obviously, but it was frustrating for them because then, of course, they're in their head trying to understand, well, how do I actually meet the requirements, rather than, I loved what you said about, you know, the playful experiential aspect of it, which is much more powerful for a client to be in a space of discovery and exploration with them rather than trying to get it right.
Yeah, I've always been quite a perfectionist and like put the standards really high, and it takes away the fun.
Yeah,
it really does. And also, if I stand in front of a group, and that's, as for MetaCoach trainers, that has been really challenging, is you have to be perfect. You know, like, rather than saying, oh, you know what, I totally missed this is what she said. And then to discuss that, because that does happen. If I coach, I'm not perfect.
No.
Like when we do a demonstration, to also show where could I have done it better. You can show some, you know, obviously you can show the skills, and do some great things, but also every coach is going to miss things.
Yeah.
And to be able to show that and let people know, hey, you know, you don't have to be perfect in order to make a difference. If you stick with the process, and you're going to find out, you're going to get the answers.
Yeah, it all comes out in the end.
I'm really
asking enough questions.
Exactly. And one of the things that was interesting, that's just a nice thing to share, is that what Tim Goodenough in South Africa does, when he teaches in organizations the skill of coaching, and they do they teach people the five power questions, like the five questions that you can always ask.
Yeah.
And I only wrote down three, but
I was going to say, what are they?
Yes.
Is that his real name, by the way?
Yes, that is his real name.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. I like that he wrote a book on self-esteem. What's stopping you? Can you tell more? So exploration question. Let me remember what he said. A testing question. Is this what we should be talking about? And I believe it was a resource question. Okay. What do you need? Okay. So, but what that did for me is to really think in what can I give you as a coach that is going to make it easier. So a short list of how to detect what to detect and analyze, and making the list as short as possible. Rather than one of my potential clients, I asked her, what is it that you want over the next three months? And she said, I want to learn all the meta programs.
I want to learn all the meta programs. What does she mean by that?
And I was like, and she knew 28, not like Michael's 80 or 100. So, yeah. At least, but even 28, how are you going to keep that in mind?
Yeah.
Take away the overwhelm and really just focus on, on simplicity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's I find it fascinating the way different people learn, because I'm still integrating different meta programs, and one of the ones that I took away from assisting on ACMC is a very basic one, but I hadn't really thought of it as a meta program. That was a way towards, mm-hmm. and it was gold for me because of that client that I was talking about in our first session. I think the one that I needed to go into the why not rather than the why.
Yeah,
I realized for her that she was not able, where every time I asked her, what do you want, she couldn't go there. And I realized that she was much more oriented to moving away from the pain of her illness rather than moving towards good health.
Yeah.
And I had that conversation with her. It's just completely shifted our approach to the way that we're, doing strategies for her.
Nice.
And of course, it's probably one of the first coaching concepts I ever came across with Anthony Robbins and the carrot and the stick, because it's basically what it is. But just to realize, that's a meta program as well.
Yeah,
I think it's ongoing. What you need to know pops up when you need to know it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you have a good foundation of a limited amount of things that you've integrated, then you can add to that.
Yeah.
But then at least you've got a good foundation where you feel confident in your coaching, so that you can charge a healthy fee for your services without feeling like you lose in integrity, or you can't make that sale.
Yeah.
So I'll be sharing over the next couple of months on what the developments are, and letting you know some insights. I think one, Tanya, you asked what is different. I think one thing also that I've been really, and I haven't got all the answers yet, but it's the sense of, how do you organize information? I was reading up on big data. I didn't even know what it was, but it's from the satellite, satellites send information, I guess, to computers, or I don't know, but it's a lot of information and it's complex, and that needs to be processed. Two of the things that is a big part of that is visualizing the data. That makes it easier. and then put it into a story. And they call that data visualization and data storytelling. And so you can make data visual, but it doesn't actually like affect people emotionally as much yet when they see it. But when you put it in a story, because stories put people into emotions, and that's exactly what we are doing as coaches. So our story building and storytelling skills also need to be kind of developed, but we all, you know, in a way we already know that. But if we translate that to a coaching session, what we do with the Quantum Leap is that we visualize the information. So first we collect and then we organize it. Mm-hmm. And then that allows us. So if, for example, you have all this information about the present state, you know the trigger, and you know the beliefs that result from that, and you start feeding back that story. So this is how you're doing your problem. As you are doing that, you can try it on. You can step into that state. And that is going to tell you so much more about, oh, like, so for example, this morning I was explaining that he was standing in front of the camera. That was his trigger for certain thoughts to pop up. So we went through the thoughts, and then one of the thoughts was, they will judge me. And I thought, like, when I feed that back, I'm like, do I know how to represent that? Or do I need to make my own interpretations? So that allows me to then, as I'm building that story for my client, it also allows me to figure out what information do I need to still get. So then I can ask, what specifically do you mean with judging? Because I can't visualize that. Mm. So like putting it into a system so that we can organize all of the information that our client is sharing, that is like the first biggest thing as a coach that you need to learn. If you manage that, then anytime, like, and you map that out, anytime that you get stuck, you can just look at your picture and see what information you're still missing or what process you can do next. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make perfect sense.
So that's something that I've been really researching as well, is how do people organize things and what skills do you need to organize it? It's kind of like, so one of the things that we're going to be doing in the training is building like a large puzzle with a lot of pieces. How do you approach that? And if you don't have the picture that you're going for, how can you, it's going to take much longer to figure out where the pieces go. And if you have two puzzles, like with lots of pieces mixed in together, which is what happens when your client shares a story. When we were working with Diane, for example, and she had several different present states, and she was talking about it as if it was one present state, mm-hmm. then we get confused and overwhelmed. And mm-hmm. if we can learn to kind of see, oh, these are two pictures, two puzzles that we need to sort through, then we can start to kind of untangle it. And so it's that idea of structuring and organizing information, and how do you do that? I think if you can learn that as a coach, you're really golden.
So it's a good goal to have.
Yes. And my goal is to kind of figure out, how can you teach that to someone really quickly? Mm. What does it take? Like, what meta programs drive that? And focusing on that. So I don't have those answers yet, though.
Is that going to shape this train? Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead, Ryan.
I was just going to ask if you see that that's going to shape this training at all, this program that we're doing.
Partly, but you have come from the meta coach side, so I will be, if I feel like it's going to be beneficial for you to be a better coach, yes, absolutely. Mm. Yeah, but we're still going to use the same benchmarking forum and things like that. Mm. Yeah. Francisco?
Yes, I was going to mention that, I mean, that what you just say resonate to me. I mean, in my work, we've been actually working on satellite images to do sometimes series of 40 years previous to the present, and then doing some scenarios, thinking what the future may look like in 40 years of that region. And tremendous amount of information in models and data, and now we are at the point where we have to tell this story. And if we just talk among scientists, it's extremely boring and nobody will basically get it.
Yeah.
So we are working with National Geographic now, a storytelling group, to help us to translate all of this in an organized and simple way to present something very powerful. And I realized that many of the people that are working this kind of modeling processes, they are very procedural and systematic in how they follow the sequences and how they organize the information. For people that are more, you know, options like me, sometimes it's really hard to be able to think that way. But in the difference between the options and procedures is where I think the key will be for many, many people in meta coaching that are not very procedural and more kind of options, you know?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's and I would say that the majority of coaches are options oriented and have a hard time following procedure. I have people like who say I hate systems, it's boring. I think Nicholas, you mentioned that like structure is boring. And I've had a client who said, I've been in meta coaching for years and I still don't get it. And what we discovered was that she just hates procedures. And so that's a big part of learning that. And then also like kind of how can you make following procedures fun and also still flexible, because your client is going all over the place. It's not like you can say, we're going to do step one first and then I'm going to go take you to step two. And your client needs to have that flexibility also to kind of like jump, from one thing to the next, if that's what they're doing. And the beauty of like having a simple system in which you can visualize it, I don't get worried or overwhelmed when my client goes from present state to the desired state, because I'm like, okay, I can just leave that behind. I've got the information there. I can revisit it. So yeah, I think procedures is definitely part of it, but being able to have the flexibility then also to jump between things in that structure.
Yeah.
As a coach is also good. So that's a good input. Thank you, Francisco.
Yeah, that's what I get lost in tracking clients sometimes is present state, desired state, trying to map, do all my mapping, but I always end with a very complicated, you know, notes setup. Michelle Duval was very good in taking notes, and she used I remember her using this drawing paper, big pages, and unbelievable how she was able to switch from one area to the other to basically group the information right there in front of the client.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, and Niklas here, it's it's getting more and more popular here in Sweden with the graphic facilitation, working with especially when working with groups that you have a graphic facilitator that makes the complex issues simple by simple illustrations and graphics. And I think we've been using your template, Femke, and I think there is something to it that it's that's interesting. I mean, to make a bit of a complex process more simple with graphic illustrations.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's interesting. I've not heard of that graphic facilitation.
I mean, it's really growing, and I think especially in Denmark, and it's coming here, and I have former associate, and she's been trained in this, and she has so many. Job opportunities. I mean, coming to organizations and being a facilitator, but not just that. She's a graphic facilitator. So she catches the concept they're talking about, and in really nice. It's even simpler than the mind mapping. So it's very visual.
Nice.
And, a picture says more than 1,000 words, so it's so you get the concepts in and sort of agreed upon concepts in a graphic way, and that makes the discussions much more focused and organized. And I think that's something we could use as coaches as well. And I mean, this is what we've been talking about. Does this fit? I mean, you can share it with your client.
Yeah, exactly. Huh. I'll look into that as well. That's interesting.
Yeah, I think you have a good book in English. I think it's called The Graphic Facilitation. So it's somewhere some place to start at least.
Yeah, very neat. Cool. Okay, so last time we focused on Tanya's outcome, and the time before on Diane's, and you know, getting like a little bit of an idea. Nicholas, we've worked a little bit with yours, and we still need to work on Francisco's. So if like for the next 2 weeks, to really refine the outcome and get to the core, what is it specifically that you can all answer individually, that you'd need to get out of today's session so that you're in a good place to work on your outcomes for the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, and Niklas here, I can answer you directly. I sent you my updated version, I haven't had any feedback, so I need to sort of know where to go and what to focus on. Good can be better. So, what can I sort of work on? How can I be more precise? How is it enough, or should I split my focus and coming up with different outcomes, or should I stay with maybe the most important one? I mean, the one I've had that I want to make a difference in each and every coaching session.
Right, exactly. So like I would like, first of all, like, cause I did take a look through yours. I would go with that one first. My computer is freezing up. Oh, there we go. And so you've got those desired states, like prior to the coaching session, during the coaching session, after the coaching session. And then another part of that, of making a difference in every coaching session, was applying structure steadily in my own way. Which is what you mentioned. And so what I would do is to really kind of look at, go through that process of, because we only, you and I only like went through one, which was prior to the coaching session. But then also, like, if you think of applying structure, where does your mind go, and in what situations does that specifically come up, so that you can kind of figure out what your relationship to structure is, and also get more clear on what do you need to do with regards to embracing structure or getting different beliefs. Because that is going to give you an idea of, hey, these are the things that I need to work on, and how will I know that I've achieved that?
I think what I mean, the kind of structure I think I need, and the kind of structure that's probably, I mean, enough for me is the structure regarding the present state and the desired state.
Okay.
Because I would like to be a bit more flexible, I mean, to find a way, or helping the client to find a way between those two states.
Right, exactly.
If I have them in place, I think that would enable me to be more present with the continuous discussion we have or conversation we have, because I don't think I need the structure regarding how to get to the desired state, but to make them explicit. That I think that's as far as I want to go with in relation to having a clear structure.
Okay, so that sounds like you've made a decision about that.
Yes,
for yourself. Okay. And then if you think about that in those terms, about, and then following that structure, are you okay with that?
Yes.
Does that, okay. Well, are you able to do that?
Yes.
Okay. And then...
I mean, based on what you've learned, what you've taught us, and the template, I think... I really don't think I need more. What I need is my own sort of level of focus and my presence. But with that template, I feel fine, actually.
Okay. And because one of the things is that you want the focus more on your client rather than on you. And you also, like, one of the things that we identified was that you are too much in your own head, and not present enough. And you say, like, if I can just follow this structure, I'll be more present.
Yeah.
Like, what will be good to kind of explore in a bit more depth is also, how are you more in your head? You know, what is behind that? Is that like a safety for you? Is it is it a habit? Like, what specifically does being in your head mean? And in order to be present, what is the opposite of being in your head?
How much about this do I really need to be aware of? I mean, will that get me a better result with the client? How much... How much awareness do I need to have in order to be present with my client?
Okay. Are you asking that question of yourself?
Yeah, I'm asking. Yeah, because you ask me a lot of questions, and I wonder how aware do I need to be about the questions you asked me. I mean, if I have the present state and the desired state, and being open to sort of follow the client and dancing with the client, I think that's the sort of kind of structure I would be comfortable with. No more, no less. Because too much structure, then I get into my head. Too much structure compared to that, that would lead me to being too much in my head, I think.
Okay. So I'm curious, how does too much structure lead you to be more in your head?
It's rather, I think, the conscious competence maybe regarding structure. I mean, being too aware, too conscious about the structure would lead me to being less present, I think, with the client.
Okay.
That's my sort of my impression, at least.
Yeah, and so is that when we're talking about structure, what specifically are you talking about?
I think it's a conscious awareness of needing to follow. I mean, the all the meta coaching models I think that gets in my way, I think.
Okay.
Instead of being with the client. If you, I mean, you've probably seen Graham Richards on the DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
And he's extremely present. He is with his client, and I don't especially think he's following exactly the meta coaching models, for example, regarding getting a totally clear outcome. But he's so present, and he has that kind of nice ability of challenging, but mm-hmm. he's present and he's sort of dancing with the client, and that's the kind of state I'm looking for, I think.
Okay. And you were saying right now that with like when you're thinking about following structure right now, that you're thinking of needing to follow all the meta coaching models.
Yeah, that
takes you
being in my head, and I'm losing track of what actually the client is saying or not saying, or the words behind the words and the thoughts behind the thoughts. So I lose track because I'm too aware of needing to follow sort of the meta coaching system.
Okay, and I'm. So there's a couple of things that I hear there, Nicholas. One is like needing to follow.
Yeah.
And then all the meta coaching models.
Yeah.
So how do you represent that, all the meta coaching models and following that? How are you representing that now?
Yeah, it's a kind of visual image of total mess of a lot of models.
Okay.
Internally, yes.
Yes. And then, so it's a total mess. It's a visual image of a total mess of all these models.
Yeah, it's the matrix model. It's the self-actualization model. It's axis of change. And sort of that takes me out of myself in a way when coaching. Right.
Yeah, and then because what you then put on top of that is needing to follow all of that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then as you then put that on top of that, what do you believe about that that makes you lose track and lose presence with your client?
I have to be honest, I think I get a bit disturbed. I think I get a bit rebellious. I think I get a bit stubborn.
Okay. How do you do that?
sort of struggling with should I go with the models or should I just give it up?
Okay.
So it's an internal dialogue, I think.
Okay. So that's where the internal dialogue begins.
Yeah, and as I keep this in the dialogue, I mean, I'm within my own self. I'm in my own head. So that means I mean, where's the client in all this? I mean, he or she is like it's like not the main character in the movie. It's a subset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So it's when you think of following structure, you go to needing to follow all the models, which is a, you know, an image of what you call a total mess. And what happens beyond that is like, you know, like rebellious and stubbornness of should I follow the model or should I just give it up? And then it becomes an either or. It sounds yes. like.
Yeah, I think it to me it means more science than art, and I think of course it should be a mixture, but I think my best conversations have been by just being with the client or just being totally interested in the client and not thinking about models and not even thinking about the outcome. And I think the outcome has sort of come out of it, in spite of all this, but just being present and being interested in that kind of person, in the person I'm talking with.
Okay.
And not with the framework, I should do a great meta coaching session now.
Okay, yeah. So there's the should and the need, like I need and the should, I should.
Yeah.
So it sounds like that also gets in the way. Okay. So if we just take a little break, like to kind of get Francisco and Tanya involved as well. So, Francisco, like in what Nicholas is sharing, what are some of the things that stand out for you or that you're hearing?
I was thinking that there may be some internal dialogue that may be interfering with the process.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, it seems to me that he feels very confident in the process. It's just the some kind of slowdown or delays in achieving that level. I mean, the level that he has seems to be pretty close to what he's describing. It's just maybe the internal dialogue is generating something that is making him to believe that he's not there yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How about you, Tanya?
I have to confess to being a bit distracted as my dog was pulling the Christmas decorations off the Christmas tree and running around the bathroom here. So my apologies, Nicholas. So the essence of what I caught is that he has this sense that he has this feeling that he's getting lost in his head, and And he's doing that because he's caught up in the process of all the steps of the meta, of the models that he needs to be covering. And what he wants to be able to do is to really be present with the client, and that's more important, to be completely present. I mean, he made reference to that so many times.
Mm-hmm.
So I would really like to explore what that is like for him to really be present with the client and get a sense of what that means. And I have a feeling that maybe he doesn't know what that means, what that looks like. Or for me, I'm very kinesthetic, so I'm wondering if it's a case of getting a feel for what that is like to be present.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Yeah. And then also I would relate that to making a difference in every coaching conversation.
Yeah, definitely. That came through, yeah, loud and strong too, of the importance of that for each session.
Because, like,
each
one of the things that I notice is, like, an almost like an either-or thinking.
Yeah.
Like, either I'm completely present and just go with the, like, and these are my words, Nicholas, but just go with the flow, or I have to follow all the meta coaching models, and it becomes like I should do it in a meta coaching way, which like it's there's like the shoulding and needing too, and that it almost puts it like as an either or and an all or nothing.
It's either the Swedish way or the Norway way.
I also had a sense that this is another thing that he needs to take care of. It's another, even though it's how do I say this? Even though it's not process and it's more being in his body and being in a sensing place, it's still another step. It's still another part of the process that he sees needs to, and I don't know what that type of thinking is. It's almost quite structured and, you know, I've got a picture in my head of like a checklist of I need to be doing this and this and this and this and this and this, and you know, I need to stop doing that, and I need to be doing this as well, or instead actually, because of the black and white thinking.
Yeah, this is where following up on that is what I was doing in my head. Just was saying, okay, so how can I make a difference in every client? So when I do that, I start talking to myself and analyzing myself in terms of am I doing a difference at this time? How far am I in making a difference? So I'm not doing quite a difference yet. So I have to really focus on making a difference. So that was what went through my mind that was interfering with me actually spending more time with the client, listening more carefully.
Mm-hmm. So that's what it was like for you, Francisco?
That's what I, when that came up, this is what I was saying. Well, that would be very, very distracting for me. I would be totally out of focus. I lose it.
Right. Yeah.
But I don't know. This is just my the way I process.
Mm-hmm. So I think, like, and Nicholas, I'm curious to hear your thoughts about that. But when we make a decision from, and this is something that where ecology really comes in and where we want to test, if we are presented with like a situation where, like Nicholas is describing, you know, like it's a troubling relationship with structure. So first of all, it's a big mess. It's a total mess. I don't know what that looks like or how big that mess is, but I can get a little bit of an idea. And then I have like that sense of I need to follow all the models. Just try that on. Tanya and Francisco, try that on for a second and notice what that does in your body. Like when you have, like in front of you, you have a total mess, everything running through each other, and then I need to follow all of the coaching models.
Wow.
Take that as a gift for me.
So, that's overwhelming. Yeah.
Just for fun, just for pleasure.
So I get a little bit anxious. I feel overwhelmed and I get anxious and like already lost before I even get into the session. And my attention is already on me, even with just those two elements. So, and then when you put like a sense of stubbornness on top of that or a rebellion, that just makes it worse. That completely stops me from being able to be present.
Yeah, it gets me irritated and frustrated.
Right, I can totally understand that. Yeah. And so, and then when we then, Nicholas, want to kind of like, it makes sense from that point of view that you would say, I'd want to do away with most structure and just be present. Because that, you know, from if we look through the eyes of your present state, that makes the most sense. And then we want to kind of look at, as coaches, you know, and that goes for all of you, as coaches, we want our client to get the best possible outcome. So if you want to make, if you want to make a difference in every single coaching conversation, what kind of difference is that? And how much of a difference do you want to make? And then the question is also, in addition to being present, should there be something, some kind of structure or some things that need to be part of that so that you actually get to the heart of the matter or to the core? Or is it just being present?
That question or?
Well, like it's just a reflection of like if it's a question for you, Nicholas. But what I'm also trying to convey with that is that in order for your client to get the best possible outcome, is to first help them get out of their present state and reflect on it, so that they can be free to free from any of the limitations to come up with a new present state. And that's where the process of detection and analysis also comes in, where we can say, oh, I'm hearing all or nothing thinking, and I'm hearing shoulding. So what if the shoulding is not there, and what if the all or nothing thinking is not there, and you're able to be present, what would that look like, feel like, sound like?
Should be great.
It has to be great, Nicholas.
Must be great. Yeah, it's good to hear the feedback, because it's so sort of second nature to me, so I don't even reflect on the shoulds and musts and ought tos, and so it's a lot of masturbation.
Mm-hmm. So is that something that you need to be?
I ought to.
Yeah, have to.
Have to. Yeah. I think some and it's also probably related to sort of my map of how I ought to coach or should coach, and compare it with the reality, and it's not measuring up, and I think that it's undecided state. So yes.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing is that what you do is that you have like the need to and the have to and the ought to's of how you should be coaching. And there's like an all or nothing combined in that as well. And then you start rebelling against yourself, against your own have to's. Hmm. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and that leads to frustration and irritation and not being able to be present.
Yeah, it's yeah. like a fussy logic at its best.
Okay, okay. So then, is that, are those some of the things that we need to like stretch? Is the need, like that habit of needing to and having to, because since you said you're so used to it?
Yeah, I would like to use my senses more when I'm coaching. I mean, like the in the beginning when it was all new and it was like a fantastic experience, and having that kind of experience again more now as I'm telling you, I feel I'm much too much in my head with the ought to and have to's and should's and everything, and it's not good for me, and certainly not good for the coach.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
Because that becomes a sort of a thick filter between me and the coaching client.
Yeah, absolutely. So you want to use your senses more, and that's yep. part of being present. Is that correct?
Yeah. To see what I see, observe, and to hear what I hear. I mean, to actually be present and being with the client, because those moments when they come, when I allow myself to be in the present, then coaching for me is magic. It's like a connection. More than anything, it's like doing something together with my client, and then I'm not in my head. I'm with the client, and I'm together with the client, and I am honored to be with the client.
Okay. So this is what you're describing now is where you want to move towards.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is my subjective experience, and I do know that, but it's my experience that I had better coaching sessions earlier on, before I got into all these models and frameworks and everything, because in a way I'm not totally present, and I'm not totally myself, I think.
Okay. Okay.
It's probably, I mean, that's probably a, sort of a harsh perception or observation, but that is my, that's what I'm internally experiencing, actually.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just curious then, Nicholas, is what makes you stick with meta coaching? You know, because you revisited yeah. And now you're on this program. Yeah. So there's...
That's actually a good question. And I wrote to Michael maybe a month or 2 months ago. I read his latest book, Getting Real.
Yeah.
And I think that is by far his best book, because that is the sort of the outcome towards, I mean, any NLP training or neurosemantic training or self-actualization training or meta-coaching ought to lead to you and me and everyone else being real.
Mm-hmm.
So I do feel that meta-coaching, for example, is a way of being real. I mean, for people being real and for me being real. But I've sort of got lost in all the technology or the frameworks and everything. But I do acknowledge the a thought structure behind it, I think.
Okay. Okay. And so as you move more towards using your senses more, what is it that you would like to do with that thought structure that you acknowledge in service of making a difference in every conversation?
Good question. I would like to, maybe just to acknowledge it, but not more than that. I mean, instead of focusing on being a meta coach or doing meta coaching or whatever, to focus on the client. And how to do that, I'm not really sure, but I think that is what I need to do.
Okay.
I'm not sure how to get to that point, but I need to sort of acknowledge the work Michael has done or whatever, but not to bring it into the coaching session per se. I've read the books and I've done the trainings. I've done the trainings a couple of times and sort of leave it there, so to speak. Not being too concerned about it. Not being too concerned about having to do it 100% perfect.
Okay. And is that what you mean with leaving it there, is not being too concerned with being 100% perfect?
Yeah, because, I'm there with the client, and that should be my highest sort of objective. To be present with the client.
Okay.
And being secure in that. The knowledge about the meta coaching models and so forth, it's integrated at least at the kind of level that it won't hinder me. It ought to help me, but
okay.
I'm not focused on it.
No. Yeah. So what I'm hearing is that, like, because you not being 100% perfect, again, that's like sounds like all or nothing thinking. That there's more to explore in terms of getting specific there, but you want to use your senses more so that you can be present with your client and not concerned with being 100% perfect on the coaching models, but having that more integrated. And that's what you're saying, you don't know how to do that yet. But the way that you're thinking of and feeling about the models now, with the shoulding and the have to's and the all or nothing thinking and the rebelling against that, that is taking away from being present. And am I understanding also that it's taking away from actually integrating models bit by bit,
that might be true, yes, because it's like the perception I have, it's like a kind of struggle or battle I have within myself, so you're right.
Okay, so if you could integrate some of the models in a way that they become just part of you being present, is that something that you would want?
Yeah, very much so. I get the impression that for me, just to be aware of you made me more aware of the need of sort of getting a clear present state, sort of and getting the desired state, and for me that might be the kind of structure that that's all I really need in the kind of in structural wise, and then to sort of rely on that I have enough of the other models to help the client to take the journey between now and then, I think.
Okay. And so what I'm hearing is the difference between having to have it 100% perfect and follow all the coaching models is to focus on the structure of present and desired state, and then relying on the fact that you have enough of the other models.
I think I have enough to be sort of secure that we can do an interesting journey between the present state and the desired state. To do it together. Mm-hmm. When it's needed, I can make the associations to the proper kind of model or whatever. But just to help the client to be clear about the state he or she is at the moment, and then where he or she wants to go. I'm feeling secure in that thought. That would be sort of the right kind of structure for me, I think.
Right. Yeah. So going from the present state where you get to a place of irritation through the visual image that's a total mess, and then having to use all the models and wondering, should I give it up or should I go with the models? Going from there to being secure in that you can be present with your client, use some of the structure of present and desired state, and then having that security of knowing the models good enough or well enough to make a difference. What is it that you need to shift or change in order to get there?
I think it might be based on. I know it's in general terms, but I think it's about allowing myself to be just human. Not put the standards too high, I think.
Okay. Okay, so that's something to work on. So allowing yourself to just be human, to not put the standards too high.
Yeah, and of course it's, it's the sort of presupposition that it's not about me, or it's about the person I'm working with.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's, it sounds like that is also like another frame to integrate.
Hmm.
Yeah. And it's like giving yourself that allowance or the permission to be human, to just be human, not put the standards so high. Hmm. So when we talk about working on your outcome, Nicholas, that's just something to add, you know, when, if we look at, we've worked on that first present state of prior to a coaching session, how you want to like think and feel with curiosity and playfulness and warmth, and then during the coaching session being present. And so now this is one step in terms of your relationship with the structure and the meta coaching model is going from describing the present state, describing the desired state, and then describing, okay, what are the steps in between? One of the steps being giving yourself permission or allowing yourself to just be human, and one, not putting the standards too high. So then it's a question of figuring out how can we do that. Is the giving yourself permission enough? Any other resources? Just need to let go of that messy picture. So that we have some of those steps identified.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that once you have this, then it's going to be easy for you to go out and call people and start coaching professionally again. Because those were your other goals. Right? So I would still focus also on your other goals, but see how much does this already influence those other goals, and is there then still something that you would need?
Yeah.
Was this useful for you, Nicholas?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Was it useful also for you, Francisco, to hear this?
Yes, absolutely. One quick question, Fenka. In previous discussions, you make a comment that making a decision or a change or being resourceful to look for options about the desired state from the present state where people are not fully comfortable yet is not the best. It doesn't provide the best option for outcomes. I don't know if I'm explaining this clearly. So I was thinking that Nicole seems to be really meditating, kind of mind reading now, in this stage that he is and where he wants to go. I think clarifying and going deeper into the present state is helping him to visualize or to understand better that desired state that he wants and to change his standards and things like that. Mm-hmm. Now I don't get the energy that yes, you know, this is where we are, this is where we are getting there yet. Is that because we still need to work more on the present state?
Yeah, we definitely there needs to be more work on the present state. And integrating that, we're just like getting started with figuring out, okay, this is what it would be like. Mm-hmm. And like now we've got the input of like, okay, there is some structure there. Cause it sounded like it's like either I'm using like all structure and I'm doing it completely 100% perfect, or I'm just not going to do like really focus on structure at all.
Yeah.
So now we're starting to hear some different things there, like already moving away a little bit from the all or nothing, but there's still more to explore, definitely.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. Tanya, was this useful for you?
Yeah, it was very useful for me. Okay, what I would like to do is, perhaps you could direct me, is I was really struggling at one point to think what question I would ask next, and I see a pattern with my coaching that I sort of feel like I get to a dead end and I can't see the visible door in the wall, and there were a couple of questions that you asked where I thought, wow, that's, you know, I wouldn't have thought to ask that. So my plan is to listen to this recording again and track it a little bit more closely.
Okay. That sounds good. Well, like what I'm going to do is I'm going to put the recording online. I'll send you a link.
Please.
Where you can access it. Then also, if you have any questions, post them in the Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
So that everyone, like, we can have a discussion about it. I think that's valuable.
Mm. Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay.
And then with respect to, just with respect to working on our own outcomes, the last session that we did, you were asking me, and I don't know if I didn't take any notes during the session because I was answering questions. I don't know if those, I don't know if you, have you emailed those to me? I don't think I've seen them.
I don't think so, but I should still have them somewhere, the notes. So I will look those up and then take a picture and send them to you.
That would be good. And then, I guess I need to do some more work on that. So when you're asking us to do more work on our outcome statements.
Yeah.
I guess I'm looking for some guidance on what specifically we need to do. I find it very hard to work on my own.
Okay. So, yeah, and that's either like get together with someone else and ask to be coached on that, on your outcomes. And obviously you and I are going to be on a call soon.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we're going to refine it even more.
Yeah. Maybe I'll just do that then. It's family holiday time at the moment, so I'm just mindful of overcommitting myself and then not.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So, it really, like, in working on the outcomes on these calls, I just, like, because it's such a foundational part of making a difference with your client and really identifying what is it specifically that we need to work on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just fleshing that out and getting into the details of that in your outcome and then translating that to different present states, etc.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Okay,
so 2 weeks from now, we're at the same time. Then I'd like to get deeper into some of some other skills and start going with that. And Francisco, I'm going to also contact you about your outcomes so that we can refine those more.
Yes, I was going to send you an updated version, but yes, let's do that.
Okay, sounds good. Sounds good. All right. Thanks, everyone. And Happy New Year again.
Yeah, Happy New Year to everyone, too. Bye.
Bye. Bye.